Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Good morning and welcome to the Morning Briefing for Wednesday, November 1st, 2017. I'm your host, Eric Dame. Jake Hughes is your producer, and today we have a fantastic show on the way to you. Coming up, we'll speak with Roscoe Butler. He's the Deputy Director of Veterans Affairs at the American Legion. We're going to talk to Roscoe about why the Legion believes the VA is an organization worth saving. We're also going to speak with the Small Business Association's Ray Milano. No, not Ray Morano. Ray Romano. Ray Milano. Ray is a Marine Corps veteran, and he's going to fill us on what the SBA is doing for the veteran community. We also have a very special guest joining us in studio. He's a Marine Corps veteran himself, a Purple Heart recipient, the first awardee of Harley-Davidson's Mission Thank You program, and a professional mixed martial artist in the Pro Fighters League. Jeez, dude, leave some stuff for the rest of us to do, please. I mean, what else? Jake and I, we look so bad in comparison to you. And you are Shane Crutchton. Good morning, Shane, and welcome to the show.
What's going on, guys?
Thank you so much for flying all the way out from San Diego just to be here in studio with us.
Only reason he's here.
Yeah, there's no reason. It was that, and he knew that the Astros were going to lose last night, so he'd be able to talk some trash to Jake
about
that.
So you come in and gloat. Yeah.
Actually,
negative.
You didn't want them to lose. You even though you live in Southern California, you didn't want the Dodgers to win last night.
Not at all. Not even anywhere close to that.
Yeah, I didn't either. I don't care who wins because it's not the Mets, and if it's not the Mets, I don't really care. I kind of root for the National League team all the time. But hey, man, here's the good thing. They were up 3-2 before last night. Now it's tied 3-3, but they got another crack at it, Jake. So what's your prediction for game 7?
I'm hopeful and slightly confident. I think we're going to take it. I think the drive of it being our first series win is going to go. But either way, I will say at least we made the Dodgers earn it. We made them work for it.
Oh, it's been a wacky series. It's just been going crazy from one direction to the other. Now, here's my question. Is Clayton Kershaw pitching Game 7 for the Dodgers? Do we know that?
I don't know.
We're going to have to look that up, because if he is, your chances of winning are significantly lower than they otherwise would be. But I'm not sure about that. What I am sure about is that we do have a great show on the way. Roscoe Butler from the American Legion is going to be our VSO guest in the second block today. We already sat down with Roscoe yesterday and talked to him about the VA. And Shane, we're going to be able to talk to you about that as well, because as I mentioned, Purple Heart recipient, yeah. United States Marine. I think you might have a little bit of experience with the VA in your background.
Just
right?
A little bit.
Just a tad. And then we're also going to talk to the Small Business Administration's Ray Milano about what they're doing, their initiatives for veterans. Now, as a professional fighter, you're almost like a small business in and of yourself. I mean, you got to promote yourself, essentially. You got to find sponsors and things like that. Is that how you look at it, or do you try to focus more on the competitive aspect than the business side, or do you have to look at both sides?
You have to look at both sides. I, you know, for a long time have self-managed myself, done everything myself. So I have to treat myself as though I am a business. So yes, I am a small business. I 1099 everything, and I have to know how to work all aspects.
It's kind of a unique business that you're involved in. There's a few other veterans who are involved in it. Our very first guest ever on the program, Brian Stan, fellow Marine Corps veteran, Silver Star recipient. He also, you know, as a fighter, was a small businessman, but also had other jobs that he had to do as well. He never quit his day job when he was a fighter because he didn't trust it to pay his bills. So we're going to talk to you about all of that good stuff. We're going to get your opinions as we talk to our next two guests on the show, because Shane is going to be in studio with us on the Morning Briefing for the duration of today's show. But first, I want to talk to you about why you're actually here in D.C. As much as we'd like to think that you hopped on a plane and brought your family out here just to be in studio with us, because, hey, we're good-looking, fun gentlemen, and people like being around us. Right, Jake?
We are beardless. Awesome. We are indeed
beardless.
Awesome.
Don't point that out. Stop it. I know you beat people up for a living, but I will fight you over my beard. And I will lose, and that's okay, because maybe when I wake up, my beard will be back.
Yeah, the wounds are still fresh, man. Don't do that to us.
For those who don't follow Connecting Vets on social media, myself, Jake Hughes, Matt St. Singh, and Mike Gartell, who isn't, you probably don't know Mike from any of the work on the site, but he's one of the bosses here. The four of us shaved our beards, and Jonathan Kopanger shaved his already shaven face, which I don't really understand exactly what was going on there, but I guess the whole thing is we're going to see who can grow the best beard over the month of November. Who is your money on there, Jake?
My money's on Matt. Is anyone but me, because that first month my stuff comes in kind of patchy, so
I
anyone
think
but me.
His beard, which was, he had a pretty good beard, Shane. He's kind of has like this ginger color thing going on to it that I don't really like, but it was a very thick, lustrous beard. Here's the thing. I don't know if he's done anything to it since he got out of the army like 4 or 5 years ago or something like that. I think that's like 5 years worth of growth. I think he might have some trouble. I'm not saying he's going to have trouble like Phil Briggs has trouble just on a day-to-day basis with growing out that weird chin infection that he's got, but we're going to see what happens there. The real reason for Shane Crutchton to be out here in D.C., he's actually here along with the Pro Fighters League and some other really titans of martial arts who are out here doing kind of a tour, and there are some fights taking place in D.C. on Thursday. You're not actually fighting on Thursday, though. You're just down here for the tour, right?
Correct. Yeah, I'm just out here helping promote and bring awareness and help raise money for the fight night that's on Thursday.
And you've got quite the crew out here with you. Along with you, you've got, of course, Ray, who runs the Pro Fighters League, legendary kickboxer in his own right. Kayla Harrison, the first woman to win gold medal at judo. I think the first American to win gold medal in the Olympics at judo. And what exactly are you guys doing while you're out here? I know you've done some hospital visits and things like that.
Yeah, so we got to visit Bethesda. And visiting the hospital, it's insane. I got to see it in 2004 when I didn't want to see it that way. And now to return 13 years later, just insane to be able to see the upgrade on it, how it's come out, how we've, as a community and as a veteran community have made that place so much better. It's amazing to see it now and to be able to spend the time with the troops and be able to show them, some judo, some MMA, some wrestling, and to be thrown by Kayla Harrison in front of them was, it's almost an honor, right?
Yeah. She did it on national TV a couple weeks ago on the show Impractical Jokers on True TV.
Correct.
Where she threw Murray the Ferret through a table. She threw him into a pool. But here's the thing. You, as a professional martial artist, you're someone who's kind of trained in dealing with things like that.
Yeah.
You practice jiu-jitsu, of course. You're out there rolling with 10th Planet in San Diego. How would you describe the power, even as she said she was doing it gently to you, how would you describe the power and ability and technique that someone like Kayla Harrison has?
Well, it's insane. I work out with, high-level people all the time, and I've worked out with Olympian wrestlers before, and they have not even close to what she had with the judo. It's kind of crazy. I've worked out with people with basic judo, but I mean, she was like, oh, I'm being so light. I'm doing this light. I'm like, Kayla, you threw me on my head. Like, not on purpose, like she didn't hurt me, but it was pretty insane. Just even being light, I fear for the woman that she goes up against when she debuts.
It's funny that you guys are out there demonstrating martial arts to our wounded warriors.
Yeah.
And traveling around visiting kids also at the hospitals yesterday.
Hospital. Yep.
It's funny that you're also getting a bit of a lesson in judo from Kayla Harrison while you're out there yourself. Are you picking up any pointers from her?
Well, she gave me, a foot trip. She showed me a basic judo throw, and it works right into jiu-jitsu. It's kind of crazy. So, and it's a no-gi move, so she's learning that and teaching while she's inadvertently teaching the troops. I'm like, all right. I have a video, PFL, if anybody goes on there for Pro Fight League, goes on their Twitter, they can see Kayla throwing me. And it is gentle, but it's hard. And like, I've been throwing, but man, no thanks. I'm not that a fan of that.
And for the men who are out there who watch MMA, those armchair UFC fighters who are like, yeah, you know what? Ronda Rousey's pretty tough, man, but I could probably take her, man. I know I could take her. I'm a dude. She's a chick.
Good luck.
Yeah. As you're talking about Kayla Harrison, which is even another level of judo than what Ronda Rousey had.
Yeah.
Men are not going to have any luck trying to take down Kayla Harrison.
I have years of wrestling, years of, working out. out and doing things. And I weigh more than Kayla Harrison, and she just picked me up like I was a pencil. She, whoops, see you later.
There you go. So if you didn't know, now you know. Kayla Harrison is not someone to be trifled with, as you just heard from Shane Crutchton here on the Morning Briefing on CBS Radio's ConnectingVets.com. And Shane is traveling with a group representing the Pro Fight League and essentially going around, as you said, to Walter Reed, Bethesda, checking out the hospitals, speaking to our wounded warriors. There are fights coming up on Thursday in D.C., also getting to go and see the children, which I know for those who follow you on social media, I think you're pretty proud of a couple of things in your life. Being a Marine, for one, being a professional and successful mixed martial artist, but more than anything, being a family man, being a dad, going to the children's hospital and visiting those children yesterday, I believe. What was that like for you?
You know, and like you had mentioned, you know, the top three things that I'm really proud of, being a Marine combat veteran is huge. Being that guy that gives back all the time, but and being a professional mixed martial artist. So that's really huge in my life. But being a father is bar none. There's nothing that can compare to being a good father. I've messed up on a lot of things in my life, and that's one thing I've never messed up on, and I'm really proud of that. And so giving back to my kid, if anybody follows my career, I actually took a few year break from fighting to be a better father and be able to raise my daughter the right way. So it's very honorable for me to go to the children's hospital, visit these sick children, and it was so amazing to see the smile on these kids' face. They come in the room and at first, like, a lot of the kids didn't know who I was, right? All they saw was Kayla dressed up as Captain America. And obviously, everybody's going to draw to that. And here I am with just devil horns and a 10th Planet shirt. I was the devil of jujitsu. But nobody really realized, and then all of a sudden, obviously, when you travel with an Olympian, there's nothing you've done in your life that matters to anybody else. So you just kind of, you got to be okay with taking a step back and being like, all right.
I think that's true even of people who went to the Olympics and didn't medal, just getting to the Olympics. Kayla Harrison destroyed at the Olympics.
Correct.
First ever American to win gold in judo.
Yeah.
That's a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
That was one of the first, I think the only time, really, I've seen judo covered on like ESPN at the Olympics. I mean,
correct.
She is a big deal, but also you're a pretty big deal, Shane. I mean, you are a professional fighter in the Pro Fighters League, formerly known as the World Series of Fighting. Yep. For those who aren't that familiar with MMA, you may have heard of World Series of Fighting. It's now the Pro Fighters League, and you've had a pretty good run of success there. You fought at Madison Square Garden on New Year's Eve against a fellow Marine, I believe. What's that like when you're fighting? First off, you're at the Garden.
Yep.
Now, I'm from the New York City area. I actually got to cover the Conor McGregor, Eddie Alvarez press conference at the Garden before the first event. Just being in that space, especially for one of the first times that a new sport is taking place in there. And then you find out you're fighting against a fellow Marine. I mean, what was going through your head at that point?
Well, I was on the main card of an event two fights before that, and it ended up getting canceled. I remember I heard about the chatter about MSG, and then they called me and offered me to be on the main card of Denver, Colorado.
Right.
And I was like, heck yeah, let's go. Let's do this. I was on John Fitch versus Jake Shields main card, and I was on commercials on NBC Sports. They had my face on there, my name, and I was like recording it, thinking I was the rad, I was the next cool kid. And next thing, all of a sudden, because we were co-main event, and then all of a sudden I get a phone call. Sorry, you're off the card.
Ugh.
And I was like, oh, what? You what? And Ray's like, hey, but we got something for you. And I go, what's that, Ray? And he goes, how would you like to fight at Madison Square Garden instead on New Year's? I literally almost had a heart attack.
Yeah.
My teammate, Liz Carmouche, fellow Marine, first, female in the UFC, she ended up, she fought at the Garden right before me at UFC 205.
Right.
And won.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just this little tiny gym, and all of a sudden we got two fighters. Like, the big powerhouse gyms don't even have two fighters in at MSG
yet. There's only a few teams. I mean, before here, I lived in Huntington,
correct,
Long Island.
Yep.
Matt Serra's team, yep. Serra Longo, Aljamain Sterling, friend of mine. We worked in broadcasting MMA together. Chris Weidman. They have like four fighters in the UFC, yeah. And that makes them one of the most populated teams in the UFC. It's also a gym run by, you know, a former welterweight champion, and it's in a massive area,
yeah.
New York City, essentially. It's where a lot of the fighters from New York City want to go. You're in San Diego, decent-sized city, yeah. Not a huge city. You are not even the main 10th Planet Jiu-Jitsu facility, yeah. Basically. I mean, Eddie Bravo. Those places up near LA, correct. Right? That's yep. where you're headquartered out of. What do you think it is? Do you think it has anything to do with that there's a lot of Marines and there's a lot of sailors and there's a lot of military in that area? You think there's any tie to that?
We always say we're the homegrown team, and we're the little gym that could. You know, we have 1, 2, 3, 4 UFC veterans out of our team, a few Bellator veterans. I'm the only one out of PFL, formerly WSOF, but we have every big show has always been represented, even Combat S Americas. You know, like Tahiti Palace has been represented. We have gloves from every major organization, wow. Out of homegrown guys. So to be able to get that call for MSG, obviously I'm not going to say no.
Yeah.
And I walked into the fight, and I remember showing up, and I have a firm belief, you dress how you're going to show up. Now, I was always taught that in the Marine Corps.
Right.
And you're going to show up to combat how you're going to perform.
Right.
So I wore a tuxedo after weigh-ins. I wore a tuxedo to walk across the street. It was literally from the New Yorker Hotel to MSG, which is what, a block?
Yeah, it's pretty quick.
Yeah, right across the street. And I had a tuxedo on, bow tie, the whole shebang. And I walk across the street, and everybody's looking at me. Like, all the fighters are in hoodies and stuff. And I'm like, nope, this is how I'm going to perform. I remember I saw Nate Diaz, and Nate Diaz looked at me. And he's like, "What in the world is this dude wearing?" You know, and it was funny. I walked out and I performed. What I do right after, I put that tuxedo back on and did all my interviews.
Wow, that's a good way to go about things.
Yeah.
We're speaking with our special guest today. He's going to be with us for the whole show, putting in his two cents on everything. He is a man who is very proud to be a United States Marine, very proud to be a professional mixed martial artist with the Pro Fighters League, proud to be a dad, proud to be on this tour of the medical facilities in D.C. ahead of the fights on Thursday, and also he's, I'm sure, extremely proud to be in studio with myself and JQ.
Of course, definitely. Briefing. That's the big thing here.
That might be number one on the list now,
it's
right?
It's the big takeaway.
Everything. I know you love your daughter, Shane. I know
100%.
You do. But here we are. Now we're
but
on
here
the
I am in studio.
Now it matters. Here you are at 7:20 in the morning. You know, one of the things that you've been on the show before. We interviewed you when you were the recipient of the first yep. Harley Davidson motorcycle through right. the Mission Thank You program. They're actually giving away the 7th bike in Washington, D.C. area coming up tomorrow. They're going to be giving that away. So they're still moving along with that program. And when we talked to you, we talked about your background and the fact that you fight at 145 pounds now. You're a featherweight. You were a little bit more than a featherweight at one point after you got out of the Marine Corps. You ballooned up to over 250 pounds.
Yeah.
You essentially tried to kill yourself with drinking and drugs and all that stuff. And you came back. And one of the things that played a role in that is martial arts and really training in it. Is that part of the reason why you wanted to be part of this trip, going to Walter Reed and Bethesda and speaking to our wounded warriors out there and showing them like, hey, there's a way back?
100%. You know, and I was in the medical hospitals. I know what the pain goes. I know the pills, the opioids. I know what goes through these guys' minds, and that kills me. So when I found mixed martial arts, when I found jiu-jitsu saved my life. Literally, everything about jiu-jitsu saved my life. You know, it took away the pills, it took away everything, and being able to just perform and do my thing in jiu-jitsu has been able to give me a drive in life for the last 12 years of being out of the service. So it's amazing to be able to show these veterans, like, it doesn't matter what's going on, whether you're missing a limb, whether right. you're paralyzed. You know, I have veterans, I have guys in my gym. We have Pete McGregor. He can't move his waist down, and this guy kills it in jiu-jitsu.
Yep.
And he was like, you need to find me some vets out there that I can train. He's from Canada. And I was like, whoa, calm down, Pete. You know, I love this guy. You know, and we got powerhouse people out there that are willing to work with anybody, any disability, anything. So it's really amazing. And that's what jiu-jitsu shows you. Is no matter what your injury is, there's always a way around it. There's
right.
a way to adapt.
Right.
You know, Jean-Jacques Machado is the basically the grandmaster of 10th Planet because he gave Eddie Bravo his black belt.
Right.
You know, he's got a small hand. You know, he's got a disabled hand.
Right.
You want to talk about a wizard that would literally kill you. There you go.
Yeah.
You know, and like this guy, he proved it. Yep. You know, that it doesn't matter what's going on, you can come above and beyond.
Right.
So it's crazy to be able to show that to these veterans yesterday. So yes, that was a huge driving force when they were like, "Hey, can you visit the troops?" Yes. And then they asked me on the flight, they text me, "Do you want to go visit the children at the Children's Hospital with Kayla Harrison?" That is something that I've dreamt about for years. It's almost impossible to go do. And I was like, how fast can I sign up?
Yep. Yep. And amazing that you've been able to do so much and really kind of be an example, which is part of the reason why Harley selected you for Mission Thank You, yep. Being the recipient, along with Adam Sandoval, who we're hoping Adam will be on the show on Friday. We're going to talk to him soon again about Mission Thank You and how it's going. Two bikes left to be given away, one this week in D.C., then one next week in New York City. You know, is it important to let those out there who are wounded know? And there are a lot of people doing this. Rob Jones, I don't know if you know him, Rob Jones' journey, 31 marathons in 31 days on two prosthetic legs. Marine who lost both of his legs to an IED. Rob is a good friend of the show, and he is actually running. He's over halfway through now, and he's running the North Channel Trail, running a marathon out in Albuquerque. Ooh, the elevation in Albuquerque. Ugh. No, thank you. I don't like driving a marathon.
Yeah, I love running, and I'll run a marathon, but I'm not doing 31 and 31 days.
31 and 31 days.
And much less, you know, that's a typical Marine right there.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I've never met the man, but that's a Marine.
Yeah.
You know, two prosthetics, and he's still going for it.
Oh, yeah.
That's a Marine.
He's out there doing that. You've got Kirstie Ennis, who is, I believe, right now, as we speak, at base camp of Mount Everest.
Yep.
So the Marines in particular seem to be going really... That's what Marines do. They charge hard and they go do what they got to do. And it seems that there are so many out there who are providing and setting that example that, listen, life may change, but it's not over. And there are ways. And how important do you think it is to find something, whether it's jiu-jitsu, whether it's running and bike riding and rowing like Rob Jones does, mountain climbing like Kirstie Ennis and snowboarding like she does? How important do you think it is to find that thing and just find something that you can focus on and prove that you can still be great at doing something?
Consider the Marine Corps like an adrenaline rush. You have to find something healthy and productive to replace that adrenaline once the adrenaline goes away, right? You no longer have that Marine Corps brotherhood or sisterhood. You have to find something to replace that where you're not self-destructive.
Right.
And I learned that the hard way, unfortunately. But since June 14th, 2009, when I did try to kill myself and did, you know, was OD'd and drinking myself to death, I found this huge replacement and been able to just really just drive forward on this. So it's amazing that these guys are finding this prior to that. And, you know, and it doesn't matter if you're good at, you know, and that one thing any Marine or military service member will understand is underwater basket weaving. If you're good at that, go do it. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter. If you're really good at twiddling your thumbs or collecting cans, do it.
Yeah.
Because it gives you a drive, a purpose, you know, something to drive forward to. You know, like I was mentioning earlier, prior to the show, I was talking to you about the flags that this guy makes.
Yeah.
He's a military veteran. He doesn't care about money. That's why he sells them for so cheap. But what he does, he has passion. And all he does is work with wood. He says it makes him stay calm. Because if you mess up, you hurt yourself or you wreck the wood.
Yep.
And so it's cool. It's finding something productive.
A focus.
I think I just had a question, something I thought about. We talked about Rob Jones and Kirstie Ennis, these people who have overcome the adversity of being wounded veterans and gone on to achieve great things. And yourself is included in that too. I'm wondering, do you think you would be where you are now if you hadn't been a wounded veteran? Do you think that helped you drive to achieve what you have?
I don't think I'd be where I'm at right now if I didn't step on the yellow footprints.
Right.
Much less the wounded veteran, much less anything. I think I wouldn't be where I'm at if I hadn't signed my name on the dotted line and signed that blank check to the United States government. I grew up in a very small town in northern Wisconsin. I was probably destined for farm work, being about 400 pounds and drinking every day just to live in the cold. You know, and like, not saying that's wrong, not saying farm work's wrong, but I was able to detach myself from that, go to the military, give back to the country I love so dearly, America. And then I found a new purpose. I was able to change my purpose and still move forward. Being wounded did help me change. It changed me much different. I was just like a little quiet kid, and now I'm way out there. If anybody follows me on social media, I do some really funny and crazy things. But it's kind of my personality now, you know, and it's how I was rewired, if you would. So it's an honor to change, but yet use my change for a positive.
Right.
And that's what my goal is every day. And I got my good friend, Todd Schmidt. He always asked me, he goes, man, how do you get so many awesome things? How do you do so many awesome things? And I go, because I don't say no to anything. Now, mind you, have I tripped and fallen on my face numerous of times by not saying no to things? 100 times. But every time I stand back up, I'm like, all right, how do I redirect that? You know, I can turn one negative into 20 positive. I'm good with that. You know, it's a pretty good, you know, 10%. But being wounded, it drives you forward and makes you appreciate life. Appreciate the minutes you have every day. It's not about how you live life. It's how you let, or how life lives you. It's how you live life.
And a man who is living life and living life on the Morning Briefing right now, Shane Crutchton, United States Marine, Purple Heart recipient, Mission Thank You recipient, professional MMA fighter with the Pro Fighters League here in D.C., and he's going to be with us all day. We'll be back with the American Legion right after this.
Helping military veterans stay connected.
We make it easy.
We are CBS Radio's ConnectingVets.com. Connecting vets every day.
Online and all over social media. Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter at Connecting Vets.
Welcome back to the Morning Briefing. Wednesday, November 1st, 2017. Go! I'm your host, Eric Dame. Jake Hughes is your producer on the other side of the glass, and our special guest in studio with us all day today has been Shane Crutchton, United States Marine Corps veteran, recipient of the Purple Heart, recipient of the first Harley-Davidson motorcycle under Harley's Mission Thank You program with Adam Sandoval, as well as professional mixed martial artist with the Pro Fighters League, Shane Crutchton. Shane, have you enjoyed yourself so far?
So far, so good.
I should probably turn on your microphone before I ask you questions. Have you enjoyed yourself so far?
Right? Are you trying to mute me?
You don't need to get any more out than you have already. Of course, I jest. Shane is here in Washington, D.C. with the Pro Fighters League, as well as gold medalist, the first ever American to win the gold medal in judo at the Olympics, Kayla Harrison, Ray Cepho, the founder of the Pro Fighters League. They are visiting Walter Reed, Bethesda. They visited the Children's Hospital yesterday, and there are fights coming up tomorrow in D.C. with the Pro Fighters League. Kind of a special event taking place there. So if people are interested in those fights and checking them out and going to them, are there still tickets available or anything like that?
It's I go to fightnightdc.com. It's a charity event for the children for education. It's the 28th year going on. They've raised over $60 million already. I don't know. It's not just a regular ticket. This is a high class black tie event.
Wow.
And, you know, you have to go on to the Fight Night DC and see if there is any tables available.
Yeah. So go check that out. If you're interested in MMA, listen, we get some stuff in the Washington, D.C., Baltimore area. I got to see some of the Shogun fights up in Baltimore a few weeks ago. It's not that often that one of the big-time promotions comes through. So an opportunity to check it out and also do so while helping raise money for the children, which is a fantastic thing. And, you know, the Pro Fighters League, I don't know if I'd say it's a big business like, say, Microsoft or Apple on that level by any stretch of the imagination. It's also not a small business. It's kind of a medium-sized business. It fits into a good space. But there are a lot of small businesses out there, and a lot of them, more and more, each and every day, are created by, founded by, run by veterans. And there's an organization out there who works to help small businesses across the country and is doing some very specific things to help the veteran community. Here to tell us about that is Ray Milano. Now, Ray currently serves as a Deputy Associate Administrator for the Offices of Veterans Business Development. He's been part of the Small Business Administration team since 1999 with various roles and responsibilities that have provided him a well-rounded depth of knowledge and understanding of the SBA's programs and services. In his role now, he assists the OVBD team in formulation, implementation, and administration of policies and programs that equip veterans, service members, including members of the National Guard and Reserve, and are important military spouses with mentoring, training, access to capital, and contracting opportunities. Mr. Milano, welcome to the Morning Briefing. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
It's absolutely our pleasure. And, you know, before we talk about the Small Business Administration, what you're doing there, let's talk just a little bit about you, because I think there's a reason that you are interested in helping out veterans who are trying to start and who are running small businesses. And that's because, like our guest, Mr. Crutchton here, you also served in the United States Marine Corps. So, Ray, tell us a little bit about your background, where you served, when you joined, and what you did.
Yeah, Semper Fi, Marine Corps vet. I was in the mid-'80s to early 90s, 03-11 grunt, running up and down hills and, you know, doing things like that. So spent a great time. That was kind of the foundation of my life was the Marine Corps. You know, everything before I was 18 years old, you know, went by the wayside, and, you know, I built my foundation for the rest of my life in the Marine Corps.
You know, hearing that 0311 or anything that 0300 range, it brings a smile to your fellow grunts' faces, like Shane, who just gave you that little grunt that says so many things without saying anything at all for the Marines. Now, Ray, we talk a lot about transition with our veterans on the show. So you leave the Marine Corps early 90s. Think back to that time. What was it like for you when you went from Ray Milano, active duty Marine, to Ray Milano, veteran of the Marine Corps?
Yeah, without a doubt. I think about it every day because of my work. So I got out, you know, when I went in the Marine Corps, I wasn't ready for college. I wasn't ready to move forward with my life. So Marine Corps was the way to go. I didn't know what I was going to do when I got out. You know, after my time, you know, I figured I'd go to college. I was lucky. I ran into a great, you know, counselor at the VA that told me about the programs and services that were available. I got into undergrad, you know, and I kind of paved the way from there. So, you know, the key is, you know, we didn't have the TAP program, transition assistance, back then like we do now. So it was just, you know, here's your DD-214, you know, there's the VA in your local area, good luck, and see you later. And, you know, that's not the way it is now. It's definitely a military life cycle now. So when you go into the military, you're already planning for your exit strategy. And the military and Department of Defense does a good job of setting that road.
You know, there's a lot that the VA and DOD does these days for our transitioning veterans. I mean, I got out in 2011, only 6 years ago, and I'm learning about programs that they've developed in those last 6 years that are fantastic and that I wished had been there. When you think back to when you got out, other than just TAP existing, which would have been beneficial for you, is there something you wish that you would have known that you try to let those who are coming up on that transition period know about?
Well, definitely that, you know, there are people out there that that's their job to help you navigate. So I talk about it all the time, having that navigator when you get out, that whether it's, you know, family issues, whether it's education, employment, entrepreneurship, you know, healthcare, you know, there's navigators out there that you could plug into, trust agents that are part of your team that could help you make decisions and guide you to where you need to go. It's overwhelming, but knowing that there's these organizations and having you plugged into those organizations as you leave the military would have been very important back then, but it does exist now.
We're speaking with Ray Milano, and Ray is currently the Deputy Associate Administrator for the Office of Veterans Business Development at the U.S. Small Business Administration. So, Ray, tell us about this program, the Office of Veterans Business Development. Tell us what you guys do and who you're there to serve.
Right. So, the Veteran Business Outreach Centers and the Office of Veteran Business Development, we're here as a program office underneath the U.S. Small Business Administration that serves all entrepreneurs, small business owners, people looking for self-employment. We focus on veterans of all eras, transitioning service members, military spouses, and National Guard and Reserve members. So we're hyper-focused on that larger veteran community.
And when it comes to small businesses, you know, we've had quite a few veterans on the show who started off as small businesses and were able to build something great out of that, grunt style. And Dan Alaric comes to mind, the guys at Ranger Up. There's so many great companies out there started by veterans. But I know that there are also a lot of great ideas that never really gel, that never come to fruition, oftentimes because they just don't have everything that they need to succeed in business. Is that one of the things that the SBA's Office of Veterans Business Development is trying to help with?
Without a doubt. So under our office, we manage 6 grant programs, and we have over 33 grantees across the country. Our primary grantee is the Veteran Business Outreach Center. So we have 20 Veteran Business Outreach Centers across the country that supplement our 68 SBA district offices across the country. And our job is to help with that navigation, work with, that potential business owner, whether you're looking to start a business or grow your business, work with you, find out your short-term and long-term goals, and help connect you to with the programs and resources to make that happen. Set the expectations, but also provide you the connections to the programs and resources available in your local area, but also on a national level.
Ray, when we look at veterans who are trying to start or grow a business, as you mentioned, what are some of the common shortfalls that you see with them? Some of the places where veterans in general tend to struggle that they may have in common. Is there anything in particular that sticks out to you?
There are a couple. So the first one, you might not think about it, but is asking for help. The first thing you need to do is realize that there are team members out there that are already, a part of your team. You just need to reach out to ask for help and get help with the experts. And, entrepreneurs as a whole are very independent. And you add veteran on top of that who are very independent. It's kind of, independent squared. They don't want to reach out, ask for help. They want to pave the road themselves a lot of the time. So just asking for help is the first big step that we see that a lot of people don't do. But second is access to capital. The biggest question we get is, how do I get funding to start my business? And it's our job to help them realize what avenues are available, whether it is a debt financing through a bank, whether it's a nonprofit, is there grant funding available, which, I could tell most people there aren't if you're looking to start a business. But is it, starting with your own bootstrapping, starting with your own money, family, friends, fools, as they usually say. But there are ways to do it. But having the information to make an informed decision is the most important thing. And reaching out and asking for help and working with a navigator to get connected is the first step.
So those are some of the places where Ray Milano, who's the Deputy Associate Administrator of the Office of Veterans Business Development at the United States Small Business Administration, sees veterans kind of having in common that they often struggle with those. What are some of the areas where we're more successful, Ray, where we really kind of knock the ball out of the park?
Yep, without a doubt. I talk about it all the time. Why are veterans a good bet as far as a small business owner? And it's, I look at being a veteran as a skill. And there's multiple, kind of layers to that. But a veteran is a skill. And you bring a skill to small business ownership. And that includes the ability to adapt, the ability to take calculated risks. The ability to lead, the ability to follow if needed. And those are all skills that transfer very well to entrepreneurship. And so the way I talk about it is, a veteran compared to a non-veteran, if you give them the access to the same programs and resources, the veteran is going to be better suited because of their time in the military to take advantage of programs and resources than the non-veteran. And that's why a veteran is a good bet.
When it comes to the Small Business Administration and the Office of Veterans Business Development, what do you think is the most beneficial program that you guys offer to the veteran community at large?
It's a combination. So through our Veteran Business Outreach Center program and our Boots to Business Introduction to Entrepreneurship program. So Boots to Business is part of the Transition Assistance Program through the Department of Defense. It's a 2-day Introduction to Entrepreneurship program that's offered through over 200 locations throughout the world. So CONUS and OCONUS overseas. And we offer these 2-day introduction entrepreneurship classes to, get these transitioning service members and military spouses access to the information that they need to make an informed decision. Is small business or self-employment, something I want to do? And if it is, how do I connect to my local resources to make that happen? And our Veteran Business Outreach Centers across the country are those navigators. They could connect you to not only Boots to Business and, what the VBOC offers through counseling and training. They could also connect you to, again, to the 68 SBA district offices and the over, 1,200 other locations for SBA resource partners, meaning Small Business Development Centers, SCORE, Women Business Centers. So we have a network of over 1,400 locations, over 12,000 business advisors across the country, and just plugging into that system, is our greatest asset.
And Ray, if people want to find out, if there are veterans out there looking to start or grow a small business, where can they go to find out more about the Office of Veterans Business Development and all that you guys offer?
Yep. If they go to sba.gov/OVBD, or just SBA.gov and look for veterans. You could find our office, the Office of Veteran Business Development. You could find information on the Veteran Business Outreach Center program and all our other grantee programs.
We've been speaking with Ray Milano, Marine Corps veteran and current Deputy Associate Administrator for the Office of Veterans Business Development. Ray, we want to thank you so much for joining us on the Morning Briefing today, and thank you for all the great work that you're doing for our veteran business owners out there.
I appreciate the time. Thanks, gentlemen. Have a great day.
You're listening to the Morning Briefing here on CBS Radio's ConnectingVets.com. Connecting Vets every day. I'm your host, Eric Dame. Jake Hughes is your kind of sad producer on the other side of the glass because he's wearing a silly hat of a silly team that could have won the World Series last night but decided not to. What does that finger mean? Huh, I don't know. That's weird. Anyway, we're here today with our special in-studio guest who's been with us for the whole show. He is Shane Crutchton, United States Marine Corps veteran, Purple Heart recipient of a brand new Milwaukee 8 Harley-Davidson via the Mission Thank You program with Harley and Adam Sandoval teaming up to honor those veterans and active duty military who are giving back to their community. Shane is certainly doing that through his work with 10th Planet Jiu-Jitsu in San Diego, as well as the Pro Fighters League. And here's an interesting story. So I mentioned the fact that you were the recipient of the first brand new Milwaukee 8 from Harley through Mission Thank You. Then you get on that bike just a couple months later, drive from San Diego to a little town up in the Dakotas known as Sturgis.
Not even months. That was weeks.
That was weeks later?
2 weeks later.
Oh, well, see, I'm really bad with all kinds of math, including dates. My wife and I, we forget each other's birthdays, anniversaries, all that stuff. Doesn't matter. So you ride up to Sturgis. Now, how long is that ride? How long did it take you? I'm sure there's a statute of limitations on speeding and stuff. I think they'll let it go, though.
Yeah, don't worry about that noise, right? So I set out a really ambitious goal for myself in under 24 hours to ride the entire way. So you're talking almost 1,500 miles, and I did it in 22 and a half hours.
My God. Now, how comfortable were you? Because the bike that you got, I believe, is a touring bike, right? It's kind of made for long trips.
It's a Street Glide special. And I got handlebars, stereo put on it right away just to make it more comfy. I really messed up. Harley Davidson does a good job on the seats, but the stock seats aren't that good. And I still rode the entire distance with the stock seat.
Oof. See, now a long ride can be fun. Like, I just rode, I have a Fatboy Low 2000. I started buying it while I was in Afghanistan. Yeah. It was like, I'm probably going to make it home and I want to have a motorcycle when I get there. I've been riding friends and then I have my own. And a long ride for me is like Connecticut to Maryland, like 300 miles, 1,500 miles in 24 hours. My God, man, that's insane. Not only that, you went up there on what day of the week was it that you headed up there? Do you remember?
Yeah, so I dropped my daughter off at school on Wednesday, and I got, on Thursday morning, I dropped my daughter off at school, and I was there by lunch the next day.
And then when did you come back?
I came back on Sunday night, and I was back for date night on Monday with my wife.
You're out of your mind. You're out of your mind. You left on a Thursday. You drove up to Sturgis. You went to the ride. Most people go up to Sturgis. They're there for a full week. You were like, I'm going to go do a couple days. I'm going to ride for essentially a full day, be there Friday, Saturday, and then come back on Sunday.
Well, no, I was there for Sunday most of the day.
Oh, okay. So 2.5 days.
The thing was, is I had to be back for date night with my fiance on Monday.
She would have beaten you up.
I mean, correct.
You're a professional fighter, but we know who's winning that fight.
She beat me up. No, hands down. No questions asked. So I had told her, I go, I'll see you sometime Monday, but I knew she got out of work at 6. I better be in San Diego at 6. Well, I got there, I had to ride through the night because I had to stop. There was a huge rainstorm I hit in Utah, and I just kept going because I was like, I can't miss date night. And so I rode through cold weather and pouring rain and still got there at 5:30, enough time to shower and pick her up from work for date night.
I rode, as I said, from Connecticut to Maryland. It rained for the last hour. I was miserable. I got home. My boots were full of water. I did not prepare. I did not have any rain gear except for an actual, just a regular rain jacket on top of it. And when you went up there to Sturgis, you drive 1,500 miles up, 1,500 miles back, all in the space of like 4 days total.
Yeah.
You went up there essentially to get stuff and bring it back and kind of give it away to like veterans and people down in the San Diego area, right?
That's pretty much what I did. I went up there, met up with the Curiakin crew, the amazing gear.
Yeah, I have some of their bags.
Yep. I met up with Adam Sandoval, and literally picked up a bunch of t-shirts, wrote Needles Highway while I was up there by myself. Nice. I just did a whole day by myself on Saturday. Needles, Mount Rushmore, Crazy Horse, did all the cool stuff. Yeah, did all the cool stuff really quick. And, you know, stuff that I've read about in books and seen on movies. And I was like, I'm going to do it. Did it all. Picked up a bunch of shirts, rode back.
There you go. And got them out there. And that's kind of like, that's part of the reason why you were chosen by Harley Davidson. Yeah. You're willing to do stuff like that. And you just kind of go out and do it and living a life that, you know, I think sets a good example for a lot of veterans. You're doing things that you love. You're at 10th Planet Jiu-Jitsu. Again, veterans in the San Diego area who are interested in learning it can contact Shane directly. You know, he'll give you a little free roll around and show you what it's all about. You're also working with, you've worked with the Wounded Warrior Project in the past, giving portions of your fight purses. I mean, professional fighters, you get paid, not a lot in a lot of cases, but you've actually given some of the money that you've made from your career.
A lot more than some. I've donated, I donate all my fight checks to veterans, you know, other minus the stuff I have to pay out.
Right.
It's donated.
It's not free. For those who think that professional fighters just kind of like do whatever they want and then show up and then fight. No, there's a lot of training, particularly in MMA. You've got to stay in shape. You got to make weight. Yeah. There's nutrition involved. There's training. 10th Planet is a wonderful organization, but if they did everything for free for all their fighters,
we'd be broke.
It wouldn't be an organization anymore. It'd just be a bunch of guys hanging out on the side of the streets, and that wouldn't be good. So other than that, you give your entire fight check to
disabled veterans. Yeah.
Wow. That is really... If you were wondering why Shane was chosen for Mission Thank You by Harley, I think you just got a pretty good idea of it. And now he's down in the Washington, D.C. area with the Pro Fighters League, with Ray Sefo, the founder of the Pro Fighters League, Kayla Harrison, the first ever American to win gold in judo at the Olympics. You guys have been doing MMA demonstrations and a little bit of clinics for those who are at Walter Reed in Bethesda. You also visited the Children's Hospital. Now, you talked earlier about Kayla throwing you. She said like half speed throw, and you said, no way. There's no way. That hurt too much. How has it been received? I don't think "recepted" is a word. How has it been received by the veterans that you guys have been going to? I mean, have they been excited to see you
so
guys there?
So amazing. Yeah, and a lot of the veterans know who I am right off the bat. You know, I have a pretty good name in the veteran community, so it's awesome. They see me and they're like, "That's the War Rhino," right away, you know, and it's a super catchy name, right?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they're like, "Oh my gosh." They're like, "There's an Olympian." I'm like, "Great. I'm shadowed again." But it's all right. You know, it's awesome because, you know, I mean, I'm a fanboy of Kayla, and then I'm traveling with her, and I'm like, and everybody kind of drifts towards the gold medals because she whips them out. That's her selling point. She's like, "I want to try on my gold medals." It's almost like the It clown.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like Pennywise being like, "Come in the sewer. You can swim down here too." But she's like, "Want to try on my gold medals?" I'm like, "Really, Kayla? Really? You pulled that on me?" So it's awesome. It's been received very well in the veteran community. The veterans are very ecstatic. So it's great to see the smiles on their face as well as the children at the Children's Hospital.
Yeah, and really great that you guys have been able to do that while also doing this essentially charity fights that are happening tomorrow in Washington, D.C. with the Pro Fighters League. And, you know, I think actually Mike Kyle is on that fight card.
Yeah, man. Kyle's a good friend of mine, and he's on that card. And then Lance Palmer is fighting Steven Seiler. You know, there's some good fights on that, you know.
Well, Mike Kyle is a guy who I've followed his career for quite a while. He's had some ups and downs, kind of like we all have, but he's one of those guys. What I appreciate about him is the fact that he's powered through it and he's kept at it. When a lot of people, with some of the stuff he'd gone through with, you know, being dropped by organizations for things that happened and all that stuff, a lot of people would just give up, maybe go into, you know, living not their best life. But Mike has seemed to have powered through that.
You know, Mike overcame a lot, you know, and, you know, he had a bad boy streak in his life. And it's kind of funny seeing one of my friends on the Bad Boys of MMA video, like, you know, and I'm like, "There's Mike again," you know, but they show the old him, you know, and if you meet the new him, you'd be like, "Wait, that's the same guy."
Right.
And it is. And it's because it shows that, you know, you can overcome anything just like veterans do every day.
Yeah. And that's really the key. And you and so many of the people that we've talked to, and, you know, in particular, it seems when we talk to those Marines, Kirstie Ennis, who was guest on the show just a couple weeks ago, who I believe is now at Camp Everest, base camp of Mount Everest over there in Nepal. She may be done with the base camp thing that she was doing over there now. I'm not sure, but she's going to summit all of the world's seven highest peaks by 2019. Rob Jones, who again currently is in Albuquerque, New Mexico today, he'll be running the North Channel Trail. And then he's in San Antonio, Houston, Dallas, Oklahoma City, Memphis, Nashville, Atlanta, Charlotte, Baltimore, and then DC on Veterans Day to finish off his 31 marathons in 31 days. There are so many people who are doing so many amazing things in the veteran community. We know what you're doing. When you look around and see what everyone else is doing, what do you feel when you see people like Kirsty, like Rob, like all your fellow vets out there?
It makes me proud, but it also, you know, I got to give a huge shout out. You know, this whole, my whole story would have never have been kickstarted had it not been for Ranger Up, and it had not been for Nick and Tommy and you know, Brian Stan and all these guys, Tim Kennedy, taking a chance on me. Years ago, they took a chance on a guy that was a 2-2 fighter to sponsor me. And had it not been for those guys taking that one chance, they've been with me this whole ride now, almost 9 years. It's insane to think 9 years, and then they're still having my back.
Yeah.
You know, so it's kind of funny, a Marine wearing Ranger Up, you know, every fight. But I, you know, they have my back still to this day. I can text them at any time and have support. So that pushed me into this, and it makes me proud to see the stuff I'm doing, they're doing, all these other veterans are doing every day.
If you think that's weird, how about the fact that Brian Stan at one point was sponsored by the Air Force?
Yeah, I know he
was.
That's
just bizarre. It's just not right. But actually, speaking of Ranger Up, they've had an association with Tim Kennedy over the years. Yep. Looks like Tim is going to be a guest on the show next week. So we're going to have another MMA fighter calling in. Of course, if you don't know a lot about Tim Kennedy, when you say American badass, that's kind of what he is. He's a Green Beret, UFC fighter, although he's now retired from that, doing some amazing things
he's
out there
active
in
duty.
The community. Yeah, he went back on active duty. He's going to join us and talk to us about his career and everything that he's doing for vets out there. And we want to thank so much Shane Crutchton for being in studio with us for the whole show today. And we also want to thank our guests, which include Roscoe from the American Legion and Ray from the Small Business Administration. Did you have fun today, Shane?
Had a blast, man. Semper Fi.
It was great having you in here. And anytime you are in the area, you are welcome to come on. This has been the Morning Briefing, Wednesday, November 1st, 2017 edition. My first edition without a beard. I don't know if I like that, but it's going to continue until I'm able to grow it back. Hey, have a great day. And if you have a beard, love it and cherish it. See you tomorrow.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.